where do I start? One of the things, since they seem to be that we confirmed on all we were going to have for our studies, we didn't. Just 3 miles southwest.
Okay, me too.
And each of the tables is a vegetable. One, something I don't know, and over that it was sitting on. Let's start over here. What is that recipe for?
H2.
What's the produce you have up there? Would you like to have that in your H2?
Yes.
There's a man who has peanut butter, pickles, and bananas in the same sandwich.
Okay. Oh, alright.
Okay. Would you like them? Have them good together? Same time? Is that over here?
Sure.
Okay, what do you have for them?
Package of jobs. What are we going to take?
You want to come in here with your pistachios? It's green.
No, I have any flavors.
What you guys got over here?
Bill?
Pumpkin bread. You trying to talk out?
Uh-huh.
Would that mix together good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're hungry enough. Mark, how about you? Milkshake. What do you got up there? You got an onion.
You.
Yes.
I know.
A.C. Ladies? Minestrone soup with bananas. Interesting. What's that?
Quarter full of your
taste. So the question becomes down to how long you would use these additional ingredients in the recipe set forth before you. Raising that.
Well,
bring me one of them. Did you bring that triple cup?
Yes.
There you go. High five there.
I'm glad I can share this with you.
I will tell you this. Kelly, she's food comfort. I am in the blender. So in other words, a thoroughly incorporated range of disparate chapters and verse. In an incoherent fashion.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yes. And that tires the jaw out with that many words. You're venturing and into the produce section of any grocery store. One does not necessarily pick through all the bins haphazardly and choose items that are not call for in a particular recipe. And if one is choosing for a particular bin of produce, one does not just reach into the bin and pull out an item without exercising care and discernment as to the condition of said item. Most people examine the fruits or vegetables that they are going to purchase through visual inspection, squeezing, tapping, sipping, and when you venture through the grocery store, you either follow a practice pattern in a known store, or you follow the signs that give guidance. Most people do not wander through the grocery store aimlessly searching for the items they need unless they have no idea what they need with which to begin. In this case, these people would require a tool that helps them rely and the information they need in a more orderly fashion. in a timely manner or with an end result that is fulfilling. My wife, Laura, she creates the shopping lists.
And there's three stores.
Actually, there's four different shopping lists. But she puts them in an order as to how we shop. And of course, I come along and I say, you know what, we need this. And I squeeze it in between the line. And it's usually not in a particular order. But she does this. And as long as the grocery store refrains from mixing up items and aisles and conducting reorganizational redecorating, then we are able to conduct our shopping in a rather efficient manner. One must have the tool in order to discern properly the information that is placed before them. One must also know how to utilize this tool. My division is not a tool of my own making, but I am giving it to you with an explanation in hopes that it comes with understanding and clarity. How to use this tool is one of the keys essential to determining what is meant for us in Scripture. Gee, have we heard about this already today? Well, that was almost word for word that Ronnie said just a little bit ago. And of course, that first thing I told you, it sounds like we had conferred with each other before we did our studies. So we could have, something common. No, we didn't. But there came a common theme in great minds, like-minded. This is where we came. This is where we got into. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the produce in your grocery store. Rightly dividing the ingredients. This is key. You do it all the time. And what are we rightly dividing? That which is in Scripture. And this is the point, because we've spoken about mystery. It is so much of a mystery because we know it now. It's a mystery to some still. But then so is trying to figure out where the soft one, the other soft one, been driving. Which is, if you just buy the same color soft, it doesn't matter. Every time you reach into your drawer, you're going to have a plain pair of socks. This is the end when you have to do your laundry, you end up with one sock. What is the mystery? This following, this is coming from Oscar Mayer, because I think it's something that's really good to reiterate. The question has been asked many times. The subject is new to so many people. And I think it well to go over and over the material on it so that all may understand. The mystery has a secret. The Greek word is mysterion, meaning a secret that is hidden until a time comes to reveal it. The mystery that we consider here is the one that Paul especially emphasizes in Ephesians and Colossians. The secret was given by special dispensation of God to the Apostle Paul. Paul was to make it known to the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. All this happens after Paul has completed his three missionary journeys and after his arrest in Jerusalem. It could not have been before, for in Jerusalem, Paul declared that up to that time, he had taught nothing beyond what was in the law and the prophets. What he had taught was no secret, but the mystery, which was his theme later, was one that had been laid hid many ages, generations, and had been hid from God. One phase of the mystery which had been hid was that God would someday deal directly with the Gentiles instead of through Israel. From the time Israel left Egypt until 8 years after the death of the Lord, it was impossible for a Gentile to be saved except by being circumcised and becoming a Jew. In Acts 10, Peter used the keys given to him to unlock the door of the kingdom to the Gentiles. This happened at the home of Cornelius. Another 12 had preached to Gentiles before this, nor did they after this. Peter prepared the way, Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles. However, during the rest of the Acts, the Gentile was engrafted in olive branch, a wild. He received his blessing and position from the root, which was the Jew. It was a time when the Jew was first. But when the mystery was made known, the Jew was no longer first. The Gentile had no dependence on the Jew for any blessing or position in the church, which is the body of Christ. Jew and Gentile are equal. Jew and Gentile, equal. Jew and Gentile are both joint heirs with Christ on an equal footing. Another thing that had been kept secret was the members of the body would be sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed unto the day of redemption. To me, that's just another one of those. It doesn't mean that I'm all of a sudden going to be flying around in the ether. I do not have wings with which to do that. And sealing is the witness of the Holy Spirit. The seal cannot be broken. This is all accomplished without any requirements such as church membership, ordinances, payment of dues, or any other thing that they think of to impose on one whom the truth has set free. You can't hold any money out of your pocket, lay it on the table and say, I'm going to buy my way in. It doesn't work that way. No matter what some people may say. 1 Peter 3:15. He sanctified the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The straightforward meaning. Really measure by sermon when studying the Bible is important in order to understand what is speaking, what is written, and whom was it written, to whom was it written, with what words, at what time, where was it written, what was the intent, what were the circumstances at that time, and considering what goes forth and what follows after. I would expound a little bit on that is, you know, when we have people, there's a lot of people out there who will pull a piece of scripture out, and they wrap it up and they pin it to their chest, and that's their scripture. And they may not really fully understand what that line of scripture is saying, because they did not read the beginning of that chapter or the previous chapter or why scripture that came following. to put it in context, there are a lot of lines of scripture I don't think people take out of context. So, you have to consider what comes forth and what follows after. Not just in, you know, what's in the message as a whole. What's in the message inside that chapter? Inside that book? There are many people that glean you said that. This is not rightly dividing the word of God. The opposite of rightly is unjustly. The Greek word for rightly dividing is orthotomata. Orthotomata. I think I pronounced that right. Postal for government work. If it's made up of the words ortho, meaning right or proper, and tomata, meaning to cut. There's a lot of things we can do. We're dissecting it. We're cutting it down into the proper parts to be able to understand it and know its function. No, is it from us? Is it not from us? Is it to us? These are important things to think about. Always important things to consider. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And reiterate what has already been spoken to me. From cover to cover of the Bible, it's all about revealing Jesus and His purpose and the love that God has for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It brings me to another subject that is not necessarily disparate from the subject of right division. Rather, it brings the matter of right division to the forefront. Sometime back, I presented a study entitled John 5:4. Is it needed or not? Tip of the iceberg. And I would implore all of you to go to that and go to John 5:4 in some of your Bibles. Hopefully you all have a KJV or companion Bible. If you've got ESVs, NIVs, and a whole myriad of others that I have a spreadsheet on. The paragraphs here. Find that verse in those other Bibles. And a nice sentence of verse 3. You'll find them missing. If you want to have a discussion about that or whatnot, feel free to call me. I'm sure I can bend your ear. The premise for the study was the realization of omissions of the Bible since the 1611 KJV. I just revisit John 5:1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep marketing pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. Pay attention to the word pool and porches in the scripture, for it is important later on. 5:3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. 5:4. For an angel went down in a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. he or she can. This appears to be a stumbling spot and a great amount of time is spent honoring this verse and its omission from some translations of the Bible. Not only is this whole verse omitted, but in John 5:3, the line, waiting for the moving of the water, is also omitted. The relevance of inclusion regarding John 5:4 is supported by John 5:2 and the entirety of John 5:3 by way of referencing the pool and the water. Definition is contained within these three verses. Now when we jump to John 5:5-6, it is a little clearer as to the importance of John 5:4. In John 5:5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Will thou be made whole? Now, this is about the time when I first discussed this with my wife. We've got Bill Engvall and Deirdre Slim. And I can at the risk of sarcasm here, I can hear this guy saying, without those other verses, it's basically, I'm just balancing my life watching these people. Here's your son. This is important to see this because it reveals itself elsewhere in other areas of other versions of the Bible. There might be a little confusion over the term porches in John 5:2, and I believe you don't have to go too deep to understand the definition. They were a presentation of what? A presentation to the pool. Therefore, an access way to the pool. Now, so I say, wouldn't it have been easier just to say there were 5 sets of steps leading into the pool? This may be easy for us now, but at the time, that language may not have existed in the same fashion it does us now. That being said, you have brought the language into the subject matter, and now you have a definition that makes you understand what is happening in 5:2. The same can be said for the pool that was talked about in John 5:2, as well as John 5:4. The answer is in the verse. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Full stop, as Cecil says. That sentence, you remove it along with 5:4. The first 6 verses, it may have been useless, with no meaning, and definite confusion. Now we'll look at the deeper controversy surrounding John 5:4. Well, I agree with my passing as far as the verse is missing, he's telling one of the verses of the Bible. The only thing that you'll find in there is the NIV, the numbering, seems in sync with the KJV. And omit verse 4. And it doesn't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No. It goes 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. In order to stay in sync with the KJV. Why? If it didn't need to be in there, it was incorrect. Why stay in numerical sync with the KJV? This unit text indicates that an angel would have to take the water pool and first angle it into the water after that would be healed. This has raised some theological questions such as why God would make healing into a contest or create such a routine expression of miraculous power. Without the last portion of verse 3 and all of verse 4, it becomes apparent that Jesus' questions in verse 6, will thou be made whole, become lacking and baseless without a substantive subject in order to draw an answer. Well, Therefore, verse 3 and 4 in their entirety give substance to Jesus' questions to the infirm man. I'm not necessarily going to read from the NIV.
I'm just going to invite you questions.
Yeah. Because it's an eye opener. Because it's going to make you want to see, is there more? And I couldn't believe how many more of them. But I think one of the things you make clear is that all of your missions that occur are diminishing, undermining, or removing altogether Jesus' importance in his DNA. When you take it out of the Bible, why do we have a New Testament? Only engage it. And of course, in being unique, it kind of takes the wind out of the sails of the Old Testament. That means that you don't want to be disrespectful of Jesus. The phraseology utilized in the NIV seems to have reduced his position to that of traveling, healing, or exorcisms. Why were they waiting for this call? Is a question that comes up in one of these phrase songs. Now, to me, this makes a lot more sense. And then this complete omitting verses and then a representative number makes about as much sense as having a 20-story building, and when you get in the elevator, the highest number is 21, because they omitted the 13th floor button due to superstition. You count floors, there is still a 13th floor. And when you continue to read verse 7 through 47 of John chapter 5, you learn of Jesus' discussion with the Jews who want to slay him for having performed this miracle on the Sabbath. These verses support not only the importance of inclusion of verse 4, but the reasoning of the first 6 verses to be intact. In order for the conversation in verses 17 or 7 through 47 to have been conducted between Jesus and the Jews, the events of the first 6 verses were necessary to occur as a precedent. With the creators of the NIV and ESV felt that it did not warrant inclusion in John 5:4, then why skip numerically verse 4 and print 3, 5, etc.? I believe that this pattern within the NIV and ESV Bibles lends tremendous credence to the content and hope of KJV by virtue of the fact not putting the number 4 verse in your Bibles, thus not wanting to be out of line in this chapter with KJV. They continue the numbers with 5 and so on, therefore place a lot more importance and validity on the KJV. Again, I would implore all of you to study yourselves a lot. You have the information. It doesn't take long. Look in there and it may surprise you. I'm telling you that. And it may surprise you to see it again. You go, no kidding, it's not in there. And when you read it, you start to realize what that importance is. You folks are very intelligent, and you have intelligent family members, friends, and work associates. Who might not be telling you anything new? You may be already aware of some of these things, and you understand, right? Your vision. Not everyone around you does. All I am doing is redistributing this tool necessary proper discernment and understanding of Scripture. Sometimes it can be difficult to understand certain questions from people around you regarding your faith and your belief. One of my hopes is that I may get forward to you in such a manner that it enables you to present a word fitly spoken. The word fitly spoken is that which is appropriate for the day and is fashioned in such a way as to not just be heard, but to be understood and to be edifying to the receiver. Proverbs 25:11-12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So is wise reprover upon an obedient ear. To reiterate what I have said before, my belief in divine being creating all that we see and experience is no more or less ridiculous than the idea of everything evolving out of nothing on its own accord or for no apparent reason. Scriptures give me the reason. One thing I have in my belief is hope and reason for my existence other than just being. Every divine being, in its simplest form, it is a very easy concept to understand. We might be divine almost every day in our lives. Whether it is information we are receiving in the newsprint or on TV or from someone in person, we might be divine that information that should turn accuracy, truth, and to what it truly pertains. Once we understand rightly dividing in the events around us, then we can go back to all Scripture. And when understood, it will fortify our foundation of faith, belief, and hope. We will be able to understand what is addressed to us and know that what is not addressed to us is for instruction. The events conveyed to us in the Bible are in ways colorful, awe-inspiring, and epic. One of my favorites has always been Jonah. In these events, we must look at the message being delivered, such as the importance of the 3 days that Jonah has spent in the belly of the fish. This message equates to Jesus laying 3 days in the sepulcher. Again, the tool of discernment is helpful in understanding what is spoken and written, by whom and to whom it was written, and what was the intent. The mystery is not so mysterious as long as you have an open heart and open mind for the information that God puts before you, that happens before you. As we may walk up a stream and have thirst, we do not bow down and scoop up the water to quench our thirst. We will never know how this will benefit us, having not tried. Now, that being said, you usually look upstream to see if there's anything up there that you might not want to drink. But as a kid, I was in Alabama for a long time. And I was running around out in the wild all the time, barefoot. He was a wild little guy. Creeks, streams, good water. There have been any harmful stuff, side effects. We who may view our way of belief, faith, study as being somewhat of a cult, I say, we divine do not require anyone to perform a citation to a group or human leader, conveyance of one's will to the control of others, sign of obedience. We study, we teach, discuss according to the Scripture, neither diminishing what message has been given to us, nor adding to the message with the intent of ill contrivance or embellishment. Let me reiterate the phrase by Oscar Baker. But when mystery was made known, and therefore is no longer an issue. The Jew was no longer first. The Gentile had no dependence on the Jew for any blessing or position in the church, which is the body of Christ. Jew and Gentile are equal. Jew and Gentile are both joint heirs with Christ on an equal footing. Another thing that had been kept secret was the members of the body would be sealed unto the day of redemption. This sealing is the witness of the Holy Spirit. This seal cannot be broken. This is all accomplished without any requirements such as church membership ordinances, payment of dues, any other thing man may think of in order to impose on one whom the truth has set free. We can put all our faith and all our hopes in God's hands, and until we are ready to believe, to what end will it benefit us? One is blessed with two legs, not to be carried, but rather to walk with my own stride. They drive a car. But I do not say, Lord, steer me in the right direction, and then release the steering wheel. Maybe surprise when you find yourself running into another car or pole or off a cliff. Wisdom to wield the knowledge you have been given must be practiced by one's self. God blesses you with particular attributes in order to do things for yourself. With His guidance, if you are not willing to lift a hand to put one. That was interesting. I guess I didn't read that one. If you're not willing to lift a foot, to put one foot in front of the other, or to steer the vehicle, how can you be successfully guided? You know, puppets, there are no strings attached if you don't use yourself. Motivation, with the wisdom that what has been given by God, you just end up being a public mess on the floor. I understand that this message and the veracity of this presentation is difficult for some to fathom. Now, honestly, I find that really hard to wrap my mind around. And that's why I gave you these answers. That's why you have things on your tables. That's why you have this mishmash of wonderful ingredients, but we're going to put a surprise. This isn't Cracker Jacks. Again, one of my hopes is that this presentation affords you a way to pay it forward and have an answer to convey this message to those who may be having some difficulty in comprehension. Rightly dividing is the key, and I am made it possible. Your Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for these wonderful people here who have sat through and listened and we have learned and walked away with more than they had at the beginning of the day. Thank you for the wonderful food that you afforded us, and we hope that we can all continue this in the following little. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.